Blog Talk Radio.
You are now tuning in to Wellness and Faith with Sherry Weary, where we question, explore, love, support, encourage, and make spiritual wellness a priority. So get ready to exercise your faith.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Wellness and Faith with Sherry Weary. I am your host, and as always, I'm excited to have you join me tonight as we make spiritual wellness a priority. So for tonight's show, we're actually going to be going back to our normal routine, and we'll start off with the hashtag moment. The hashtag for the month of July is Beauty Impossible. We'll also get back on track with our series with discussing the miracles of Jesus that are found in the New Testament during our segment titled To Believe or Not to Believe. We'll then go into our segment titled Let's Be Real, where I'll be making my weekly confession. And then we'll go into our main discussion tonight, where we're going to be talking about who our real enemy is. And then we'll close out the show with our dose of spiritual wellness, and we'll give final greetings, and we'll look forward to seeing you all next week. So remember that you can interact with me before, during, and after the show on social media with the hashtags that you hear throughout the show. That includes Wellness and Faith, Let's Be Real, hashtag Moment, Do the Impossible, or if there's anything else that resonates with you, you can be sure to tag me at Weary Consult, and you can do that on Facebook, Instagram, and on Twitter. You are also welcome to call into the show live with any questions or comments by dialing 347-850-1154. Again, that's 347-850-1154. If you need that number again, you can just look at the show website to be able to call in, and I would love to hear your comment or your question. So let's go right into the hashtag moment. So the hashtag moment is a point in the show where I discuss a topic that's related to my monthly blog, and we post on social media about it with that particular hashtag. I'm a guest contributor for the RS Counseling and Wellness Center blog, which can be found at radiantsunshine.org. My last two blogs, The Cost of Compassion and Beauty Impossible, was published almost 2 weeks ago now, so I encourage you to go to the website at radiantsunshine.org to go check that out. You can also get the link to my blog, Beauty Impossible, on the Blog Talk Radio show website as well. So the hashtag for the month of July is Do the Impossible. So remember, you can post on social media and just be sure to tag me at Weary Consult with that particular hashtag. So in order to do the impossible, you must have faith in God, have confidence in your own abilities, and then you must put it all to work. So, of course, confidence in your own abilities is going to be so instrumental to you doing the impossible, to you setting out to accomplish the goals that seem like you are not going to achieve, but with you actually putting in the action, you're going to actually do it. So with having this knowledge of what you're capable of and then also having confidence and then carry out that action in your particular behavior so that you can accomplish your goals is going to be key to you actually experiencing success. It's one thing to know that you have the capability to do something. It's another thing to actually do it. And so when it comes to accomplishing all of these tasks before us, all of the goals, you know, our dreams, making our dreams manifest into our reality, and doing what seems impossible, we first have to have confidence in our own abilities, and then we need our actions to subsequently reflect that confidence. If you know that you are, you know, one of the most talented hairstylists in your particular area, but you're not even working in a salon or even in the process of opening up your own salon or, you know, let's say trying out different hairstyles on your friends or your coworkers, then this confidence that you have and knowing that you have this talent, it really is not being utilized to its fully full potential. And that applies to any talent or capability or skill that we have in our lives. That is so important that we continue to fine-tune our abilities by putting them into action. Because the reality is that if you're not constantly doing something to make yourself better, then you can actually end up regressing and losing that as that skill that you have and losing that extra edge that will make you stand out from everyone else. So you need to know what you know. You need to have confidence in what you know, and then you need your actions to subsequently line up with it. The next thing that is so instrumental to you doing the impossible is that you need to have faith in God, because you need to have faith in something, in someone who is greater than your own capabilities. If the truth is ever told, if we were to all think about something that we are really great at, there are some of us who are listening to the show where we know that in a particular skill set or in a particular field, we are the best of the best. But even with having that extreme talent, being able to know that you are far ahead of anyone else that has any skills or talents that is similar to that, there is still a limitation to how far your skills and your talents and your capabilities can take you. And so that's where the faith comes in order to push you now further beyond what your capabilities can do, beyond what your talents can do, to be able to put you before great men, to be able to open doors that no one can shut, you know, to be able to give you favor that you would not be able to orchestrate in your own mortal ability. Now, when you look at these two things separately, faith in God is absolutely great. You know, having this commitment to be able to trust in God and having this commitment to live a life that is reflecting of that trust and to live a life that is pleasing in God, that having faith in God alone is not enough. If you have faith that God will put you in situations and place you before opportunities that will give you the chance to be able to showcase these abilities that you have, but then you don't take advantage of the opportunity, it's a whole waste of time. Or if you're on the other end of the expression and you have all this confidence in your own self, but then you don't lean and depend on God as well, knowing that God is the creator of all things and he's the one that even gifts you with that particular skill set, then at some point, you're going to hit a wall. You're not going to experience the full potential of what you will be able to do if you truly and solely only rely on yourself. So each of these two things are great and they're awesome, but they're not enough when you just stand them alone. And you can experience success. Let's say if you're a person that, again, you're the top in your field, you know, everyone is seeking after you and you're successful, and that's awesome, but there's some levels of success that you will not achieve if you are not also having that faith in God. And if you're experiencing a lot of success already and you're solely just depending on your own abilities, just imagine the potential that you have not even tapped into yet, because you are not also depending on God and having faith in who he is and having thankfulness and gratefulness that he has graced you with the particular skill set or the talent or abilities that you have. And James 2:26 really sums this up really great. James 2:26 talks about how the body is dead without the spirit. And when you think about that, it's our spirit that actually gives us life. And so if it wasn't for the spirit, even if our bodies are in tip-top shape, if it wasn't for the essence of life that resides within our bodies, then at some point, no matter how fit or how great or how beautiful or handsome our bodies look, they're going to decompose. They're going to be useless. There's nothing that we can get from a body that does not have life. And so it's the same thing even when you look at our faith and our works or our capabilities or our actions, is that each one needs the other one in order to fully work, in order to reach the full potential that is possible when you put them together. If you only have faith in God, you're like a dead body. If you're not putting the work in order to activate this faith and for it to manifest in your life and how you behave and what opportunities you take advantage of and how you showcase your talents and the skills that you've been gifted with, is all a waste of time. And so we want to make sure that as we're seeking to do the impossible, that we are adamant about having our faith rooted and grounded in God, but we are just as adamant about making sure that we are taking the actions in order to live out our faith. We have to make sure that our lifestyles, that, you know, how we handle our business is reflective of the faith that we have and who we have faith in. So when it comes to our spiritual wellness and doing the impossible, we need to have faith in God. We need to have confidence in our abilities, and then we need the actions to prove it. So now let's go into our next segment titled To Believe or Not to Believe. This is a part of the show where I strongly encourage you to call in with questions or comments live because we're talk about the different reasons why it may be difficult to believe in God. We've been on a series for the past few weeks where we're talking about the miracles of Jesus that are found in the New Testament. So if you would like to chime in on a discussion on this series that we're doing, you can call 347-850-1154. And if you need that number again, you can just look at the show website. So on this evening, the particular miracle that we'll be discussing is when Jesus actually healed two men who were blind. So here it is. We can find the account of this particular miracle in Matthew chapter 9, verses 27 through 31. So the key players in this whole miracle that takes place is that you have Jesus, and then you have the two men who are actually blind. And so the way that they encountered Jesus is that they actually end up following Jesus after he had just performed another miracle where he raised a little girl from the dead who was a daughter of a ruler who was in that particular town where Jesus was. And so Jesus just got done performing this one miracle, and now these two men who are blind, because they've heard of Jesus' miraculous power, they're following after him, and they begin to call out to him, asking Jesus to have mercy on them. And one of the things that I want to point out in their calling to Jesus is how they addressed him. They addressed him as the Son of David. And so here it is, they're recognizing that Jesus is not just some normal guy who was just walking the earth, but he is someone special and that he has the authority and the power to be able to change their situation as well. And so they're calling out to Jesus and they're saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. And Jesus then responds to them and he asks them if they believe if he is able to be able to do what they're asking of him. And so they respond like, yes, of course. And after that, Jesus then responds back with them and says that their faith has made them whole. And then immediately they're healed. And so what I find interesting, too, here is that Jesus then tells them not to speak or to tell anybody what happened. But, of course, they don't listen. And they actually go and they tell a whole bunch of people what happened. And so now news of his miraculous power spreads even more. And what's awesome about this particular miracle is that, yes, like from a physical sense, you see that Jesus restores their sight. You know, here it is, these two men, they were not able to see, and so there were a lot of challenges that comes with that. You know, I mean, just your day-to-day living is going to be a lot more challenging if you have to go about doing what you need to do with taking care of yourself and, you know, even with trying to get a job, it's going to be really difficult, you know, because you can't see the things that one of the most crucial things you need in order to carry out things more quickly and more efficiently is your eyesight. Now, of course, you know, we know people who are, you know, blind and they're able to still live a very fulfilling lifestyle and not having their sight. But, you know, I bet you that if you talk to most people who are blind and you ask them if they would have the opportunity to be able to see, would they take it? More often than not, you're going to find people who are going to say yes. And so here it is, these two men, you know, they're in that same situation. You know, yes, they probably have become accustomed to living a life with not being able to see, and so they had made the necessary adjustments in order to continue to do what they needed to do, but they desired to be able to see again. And so they went to the source, they went to the solution, Jesus, who can make that desire become a reality. And, you know, even being a person like I myself, like I wear glasses, I can tell you I do not like wearing glasses. I am thankful that my vision is not bad enough where, you know, I'm not legally blind or even totally blind. But being a person, I'm very familiar with, you know, having challenges with being able to see. You know, at one point I did wear contacts, and I've also had some different issues, you know, with my eyes where, you know, having to go through the doctors and get certain things, like, taken care of. So this is something I can definitely think will be so cool to have happen. You know, but here it is, you know, you're not able to see one moment, and the next moment everything is just incredibly clear. And so even though those of us who are listening to the show, a vast majority of us may not actually be legally blind or completely blind, is that spiritually there may be some blindness that is in our lives. And so if there is something spiritually that is blocking us from being able to see clearly who we are in Jesus, or to be able to see what the plans are that he has for us, and to see how his plans are so much better than anything we could ever create for ourselves, and that all we have to do is just to give it to Jesus, to have faith that he can remove the blinders, that he can remove whatever that issue is in order to help us to see more clearly, so now that we can more effectively navigate our life and that we can be the people that he has created us to be. So I definitely believe this miracle took place. As always, I always believe the miracles took place. I mean, I do believe that Jesus is capable of doing these awesome, miraculous things. And, you know, I've seen, you know, miracles happen in my life, even with physical healing, you know, taking place. I've seen it happen even in other people's lives as well. And so I know that this is real. And so I trust God to continue to be that same miraculous working God in my life. And I trust him to be that in yours as well. So what about you? Do you believe or do you not believe? Do you think that it's even possible for someone to even have this capability to be able to make someone see again? If you have questions or comments, you can call into the show live, and you can go ahead and look on the show website to get that number. All right, so it is confession time. So this is a new segment on the show that I started, well, I wouldn't say new, probably about 2 months ago, where I am transparent and I admit my mistakes, my shortcomings, and also areas where I've grown in and where I've made progress in, and I'm pretty transparent with you all about that. And so the purpose of this segment is provided to be able to give an example of what I believe that we need more of from people of faith, and that is just simply people being real. So let's do it. Let's be real. So my confession on this week is that I want peace. There is just so much going on in the world right now. And, you know, even particularly here in the U.S., I can tell you that just on yesterday evening, just hearing the news about the police officers who were killed in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, was just so disheartening, because I just don't understand, like, why we have to be in this place. Of course, I'm not God. I'm not the creator of the heavens and the earth. I am not the one who has the power to change the hearts of individuals. I'm not the one who is able to be able to discern the intentions of every person in this entire world. And so that disheartening feeling just really comes from seeing more families grieving, seeing more lives cut short, and then seeing our country just being able to still stay in this place of being just so divisive and so divided and just so full of hatred, to be quite honest. And it's not everyone. You know, there are definitely some people, you know, who I know of personally and people I don't know of, or, you know, from seeing different videos that's posted online on social media. And, you know, you see these positive moments that are happening with different people who are from different places in life and who are from different racial and even ethnic backgrounds just coming together, even though prior to the recent events, you know, they were not able to do that. And so I do know that every single thing that's going on in the world is not doom and gloom. But still hearing about tragedy yet again, it can be overwhelming initially, just hearing about all of that. And just my first reaction is just that I wanted peace. I just want everyone to experience peace. And the other thing that I realized just in hearing this tragedy, and not just here in the U.S., just there's, you know, people who are suffering all over the entire world, you know, right now. And to be able to see just all these senseless killings and to see how people are just being taken advantage of and abused, it also just continues to confirm that everything that is going on in our world, all of the hurt and the tragedy and the pain and the violence, is really just a symptom of a spiritual warfare that is just coming to head in such a jarring way. And we're going to talk more about this later on in the show, so I won't get too much more into detail about that aspect as far as it being just a spiritual warfare. But I will say, just recognizing that, is that it's definitely making me to think more about what I'm personally doing in order to be able to reflect the power and the spirit of God so that we can all just have peace. You know, I just cannot imagine just what all of these families are experiencing, not just here in the U.S., but all over the world, who just keep experiencing tragedy after tragedy after tragedy. And I just want everyone to experience peace. And I wish that I had the power to be able to create world peace. You know, like within a moment I can just say, everyone, everything is fine. You're going to have peace. You're going to have a great life. And we're all going to be together. And we're going to work together. And we're going to be unified. And we're just going to have this awesome existence together. But I can't. But what I can do is, again, do what is necessary within my own self to make sure that I am projecting love and truth and peace in everything that I do. And, of course, I'm human, so I'm not going to always get it right. There will be some mistakes that will be made. But still to have that desire and to have that goal and that intention and to be intentional about showing and demonstrating love and peace and understanding and truth to anyone that I interact with. So that is my confession for this evening, and I'm going to really ask of everyone who is listening to this show is that you step outside of your anger and your frustration for a moment and what you're feeling to try to seek and understand the anger and frustration of someone who has a different point of view from you or who sees things differently. Claim to get rid of your anger, because even the Bible says that you can be angry, it's just not the sin. The issue is not in the anger. The issue is when you sin as a result of the anger. What I am saying is that we are all angry right now, or maybe not all of us, but there's lots of people who are angry and frustrated with what is going on with our world. There are a lot of people who are hurting, even with those that may have point of views that do not make sense. You know, if we're just completely honest, even with those that have point of views where they are blind to the systemic issues that are plaguing our country here in the U.S., that are even plaguing other countries, you know, over the world. But at the same token, if we are ever able or going to ever able be able to come together, that we have to come from a place of understanding and compassion. Even for those who may not understand the seriousness of what's going on, is that let's just still at least try to understand why they don't understand. Let's try to have compassion instead of hatred. And I know that that's a lot to ask, especially if you are on the end where you are the one who is suffering because of someone's ignorance, or if you are suffering because of the systemic issues that are really plaguing all of us right now, and you have been directly affected as an individual, or if your family has been directly affected, if your community or, you know, the city where you live in, the neighborhood is directly affected by the systemic injustice that occurs on a daily basis, it can be hard to step out of that moment, that feeling, that place of being stuck, and the anger and frustration and just seeming like things are never going to change. But we all need peace. We all need love. We all need understanding. So it's just, I ask for you to take this one moment this week, one opportunity, to seek to understand and to have compassion and to have love for someone who sees things differently than you. And that's something that I'm going to be doing as well. You know, the challenge that I'm putting out to you all is a personal challenge as well. You know, whether it's on social media or if it's with a coworker or a family member or, you know, with anyone that you encounter, it just to seek to understand and to seek to just to be an experience of love, truth, and compassion for that individual. So on that note, we're actually going to take a brief commercial break to hear our wellness moment from Sharia Farmer, who is the owner and operator of the RS Counseling and Wellness Center. And then after this brief commercial break, I will be back.
Hello, good people. This is Sharia Farmer coming live from my office at RS Counseling and Wellness Center. I wanted to briefly talk to you guys about something that's extremely important to me. Over this past week, I've been preparing for a presentation on depression and the Black female college student. And what I realized was that we are now continuing the myth of the strong black woman into a new generation. And it's important that we start to look at how much we're trying to juggle, how much we're trying to do in our lives, and how it quickly can create signs and symptoms that look like anxiety or depression. And what I would like for us to start doing is to capitalize on being healthy for ourselves by taking care of ourselves first. That doesn't mean that we don't care about other people or do things to help other people, but it means that we have to look at how we're taking care of ourselves daily to make sure that we are our healthiest selves in any relationship that we have. And how we do that is just very small things and then also larger things. So for now, I just want to give you some small tips on what you can do to take care of yourself daily. You can make sure that you're eating well. You can make sure that you're having a good night's sleep. You also can do things like taking breaks, saying no, and also making sure you're prioritizing your to-do list and even cutting things off that are not mandatory or needed. I know that that seems very simple, and in some sense, it might sound too simple because you've actually gotten to the point where you're on an overload. If that is the case, I will always recommend seeking help, reaching out to a counselor or a therapist that can really help you to prioritize what you have on your plate now and to give you some ideas on how to cope with either high levels of anxiety or depression. I hope that has helped. I hope you guys continue to take care of yourselves and put yourself as the priority, and then put yourself first as a priority, and then start to take care of yourself. Until we meet again, everyone be well.
All right, welcome back to Wellness and Faith with Sherry Weary. I hope you enjoyed that wellness moment with Sharia Farmer. Remember that you can interact with me before, during, and after the show online with any of the hashtags that you hear throughout the show. If there's something that resonates with you, be sure to post about it and just to tag me at Weary Consult. You can do that on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And if you have any questions or any comments, you are more than welcome to dial live into the show as well. The number to call in is 347-850-1154. All right, so we're going to go into our main topic on tonight. And so as I mentioned just earlier before we took our commercial break, is that the news has been inundated with nothing but tragedy for the past few weeks here in the U.S. and really all over the world. And the reality of it is that some of us, depending on where we live or where we're coming from, we're not accustomed to the tragedy being a part of our everyday life. But then there are others of us where this is a day-to-day thing. This is just every single day. And although we do not want to ignore or deny our emotions and the mental fatigue and the stress that comes from experiencing tragedy, especially when it is so frequent and almost normal, it's important that we also recognize that everything that we see and that we experience is really due to a spiritual warfare. Everything that we are seeing playing out in our lives individually and our lives corporately is really a result of what is going on in spiritual realms. And so when you look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, it says that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. So with this particular scripture, this is the basis from that text as far as everything that we are experiencing is being a result of a spiritual battle that is going on. And so with knowing that, that means then that our enemies, our real enemies, is not each other. The enemy that we really need to defeat is on a spiritual level. And so I actually want to break down like just each part of this particular verse just to talk about this and to see how everything that we are going through, it is systemic, even in on a spiritual level. It is systemic, it is organized, and in order to fight and to combat that, we have to be equally organized and effective from a spiritual perspective and being equipped with the spirit and the power of God. And so with the first part of this verse, again, it says how we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. So the people that we're seeing every single day, whether it's our family members, our coworkers, people we go to school with, people that we interact with online, law enforcement, our judges, our politicians, to anyone that we're seeing, even as we go to our doctor's appointments, people we see in a grocery store, at the gas station, while we're driving on a highway, just anyone that you are seeing, they are not the real enemy. Now, this can be really hard to remember, especially when the people you are seeing each and every single day are the ones that are actually carrying out the actions that result in you experiencing tragedy or that result in you having something negative to incur in your life. It can be really hard to not see the individual as an enemy when that individual is the one who said something to hurt you, or they're one that did something that resulted in you losing something or someone that's important to you in your life. But at the end of the day, the individuals or the person or the group of people that we see as the enemy is not really them, but it's actually the spirit that is working in them. And so that should be the basis of how we determine how we're going to respond. Again, we're not human. No one is perfect, so we don't get it right all the time. But more often than not, when we're responding to any type of tragedy or negativity that comes from the actions of the individual, we have to remember that it's about the spirit that resides in that person that is causing them to do the action. Now, with saying that, that does not negate the individual from the consequence and taking the responsibility of the action that they did that was wrong, or whatever they said that was wrong. The individual still needs to be held accountable. But if we're going to get rid of the problems of the root and ensure that not only does that individual, but even other people who are operating in that same type of way of thinking, in order to destroy that, we have to destroy it at the root, which is all is spiritual. Say if a person does something that's against the law, yes, they still need to, you know, suffer the consequences of breaking that particular law. You know, if someone does something that, you know, destroys your trust, then yes, they need to then go through the process of doing whatever is necessary to, within reason, to doing whatever is necessary in order to restore that trust. You know, but at the same token, again, if we're talking about destroying it at the root, we have to remember that even though the individual is carrying out the action and the individual definitely needs to pay the consequences of whatever those actions may have been that resulted in a negative effect on you individually or on you as your entire neighborhood or your city or your group of people, is that at the end of the day, it's a spiritual thing. Okay, so the next part of this verse, it says, okay, so then it said it's not the people that you see, right? It's not the mortal human beings that we interact with on a day-to-day basis. But first it says that it's against principalities. And so when you look at that word principalities, principalities means it's a territory that is ruled by a prince. And so in Ephesians 2 and 2, actually says that Satan, the devil, is the prince of the air. So here's the first clue to who our enemy is. It is actually the territory that is ruled by Satan himself. And so with knowing that, that means that even though the individual is the one that's carrying out the rules or the laws or the plans of this particular type of ruling of this prince, demonic force that is happening, is that we have to know that in order to ultimately win, we have to combat it by going after the demonic force that is actually responsible. And so even when you think about it, you know, from a literal sense, and you look at the territories, like the territories of the U.S., it is very easy to be able to get a map, whether a physical map or even to go online, and to be able to see what the territories of the U.S. looks like and where, how vast and how expansive it is, and to be able to see the different states and the cities and, you know, the jurisdictions and the counties that reside within that territory. It's so expansive. And so that's how it is even when you look at the spiritual realm and the principalities that we are fighting up against when it comes to the manifestation of the evil and the wickedness that is in this world. And so then the second part of this, it talks about how we are fighting against powers. And so when you look at the definition of powers, powers is a person or an organization that has a lot of control or an influence over other people and other organizations. So not only does our enemy, who is really Satan, have territory, not only does he have a kingdom that he is overseeing with where he is the one that is in charge, where he is the one that determines how things are going to happen and how he wants to see things occur within his own kingdom and with the people, the demonic forces, rather, that he then rules and that he sends out into the earth to be able to carry out these particular things, is that you see is that they have influence. They just don't have an area that they control. But this area is now based upon influence and control to get individuals to be able to carry out the plan. And then the next part of the verse talks about how there are rulers of darkness of this world. And so when you even look at rulers, rulers are persons, usually king or queen in a literal sense, who rule a person, an area, or a group. So again, this is reinforcing the idea that this isn't just about just the devil and himself and that's it. But there is a whole army, a spiritual army, a demonic army that flows under this leadership that then carries out the wickedness and the evil that we see. And then the last part of that verse talking about, and it's also against spiritual wickedness. And so again, this confirms how it's not about the people. Again, remember the first part of the verse says how we're not fighting against flesh and blood, but against these powers, principalities, ruler of darkness, and spiritual wickedness. So it's not mortal beings, even though mortal beings are the vessels that are used to carry out the spiritual wickedness. It's really the spirit, which when you look at even a definition of what spirit is a force within a person that gives the body life, energy, and power. And so when we look at wickedness, it means morally bad. And so we were to take a look over everything that is happening in our world today. This lines up with pretty everything that's going on right now. When you look at these definitions and you look at what's going on in our world, it makes sense. So although the actions are being done in the natural here on earth with individuals, human beings, mortal beings like you and I, you know, who are carrying these plans out, if we're going to win and if we're going to ultimately overcome this, we cannot fight it by fighting each other as individuals. We can't fight this on a mortal level. Yes, there are actions that we need to take, and I can tell you that, to be quite honest, just looking at some of the responses from individuals who, you know, as Christians who do recognize that this is a spiritual battle, is that there's a piece of practicality that's missing from that. Yes, I want to make sure that, you know, everyone is listening to the show that you understand that this is all spiritual, that, you know, we are fighting up against spiritual demonic forces, and in order to win, we have to then fight with the spirit and the power of God, who reigns supreme and who has the ultimate control over any and everything that's going to happen. Like, God has the final say. But even with recognizing that this is a spiritual thing, our actions now practically here on the earth has to now reflect the power and the spirit of God. We can't just talk about prayer. We can't just say, let's have a prayer meeting. We can't just say this is a spiritual battle. This is the enemy. This is his plan. This is what the devil is trying to do, because even in the Bible it says that the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. We can't just talk about the destruction. We can't just have the knowledge of the demonic warfare that is going on. We now have to have a response and have our actions live out this power of God that is within us that we have access to, that now shows that we are able to conquer and defeat the demonic things that are happening in this world. But it's not by our own mortal power. It is by the power of God. And so sometimes from some of the responses that I know I've been seeing and, you know, some of the advice that's out there from, you know, people who are Christians and those who are, you know, have leadership positions and they have this platform, is that missing the practicality of it all, is that after we pray, after we do what we need to do with ourselves individually to be able to cleanse ourselves of any unrighteousness that happens within us, because just because you may be, you know, a Christian, just because you may have the knowledge of what spiritual warfare is, that does not make you exempt from having that same spiritual responsibility to make sure that you yourself are also in the right position as well. We have to make sure that individually that we are cleansing ourselves, that we are purifying our own spirit every single day of anything that is going to prevent us from walking in the full authority and the power of God to be able to defeat these demonic forces that are attempting to come and to literally destroy us. We are seeing destruction each and every single day. And so we have to make sure that we are taking the action to be able to spread and to manifest the purpose of God, which even Jesus himself said that he has come to give life and life abundantly. But we cannot give life to someone else if that life is not manifesting itself through us. We cannot equip someone else with the spiritual tools and the weapons that is needed in order to be a person that shows the victory. And then we actually have a caller who is calling in live. I do see you here with the area code 916. I'm going to bring you here on the show live in just a moment to be able to see what your question or your comment is. And if you can just give me a moment, we're going to stay here and get you on the line here. All right, hello, caller. If you'd like to give your name, you are on the show live with Wellness and Faith with Sherry Wary.
Hi, thank you. My name is Wendy from Sacramento. Do you take questions about the future?
I'm sorry, do I take questions about what is that?
About the future.
You, as far as fortune telling?
Well, what you might see for me in my immediate future.
Yeah, so that's actually not what I do. I'm not a fortune teller, so I wouldn't be able to actually give you that type of information. This is a show, actually it's a Christian radio show, where we do talk about the power of God and just about spiritual wellness. And making sure that we're equipped to live out lives that keep us spiritually balanced and well from a Christian perspective. So if you have a question about that, I would definitely be able to answer that.
Well, that's very nice. I am a Christian.
Okay.
And what a beautiful show you have.
Oh, thank you.
I think I'll have to call back because I have to go, but thank
okay.
you so much for speaking with me.
Oh, no problem. Thanks again for calling in, and you're definitely more than welcome to call in any time, you know, with any questions that you have about anything that we're discussing, but I hope you have a great evening and really appreciate you listening to the show.
Thank you, and God bless.
All right, you too. Have a great evening.
Thank you.
All right, so if anyone else has any questions, you know, as always, welcome anyone to call in. The number is 347-850-1154. So, you know, just to be able to close out just that last segment that we were talking about, it's to recognize that everything that is happening is based upon just the spiritual force. And either we're going to tap into the power of God, the spirit and the power of God, or we're going to succumb to the demonic forces that are already in play and trying to seek to destroy. But at the end of the day, we want to make sure that we are accessing the power and the spirit of God so that we can have life and that abundantly. So with our dose of spiritual wellness, it's really simple for today is that I encourage everyone to get equipped with the power of the spirit of God and then to act with wisdom and knowledge and strength of that power. So I enjoyed each and every one of you this evening, especially with our caller that called in. Thank you so much for your time on this evening. I look forward to speaking with everyone next week. You can log on to blogtalkradio.com/RS Wellness, and you'll be connected to the show. You can also go to that same website to be able to listen to replays of the past shows as well. Be sure to check out the RS Counseling and Wellness Center blog at radiantsunshine.org. find tons of helpful wellness tips along with my guest blogs there as well. And while you're at radiantsunshine.org, you also want to check out information about the new Women's Enrichment Community that is being hosted by the RS Counseling and Wellness Center. And you want to make sure that you sign up. It's an awesome community with tons of helpful information, wonderful resources, and it's such a great deal. So you want to go ahead and sign up for that as well. On Tuesdays, you want to tune in at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for the Lunch Date, a social wellness break with Sharia Farmer. She gives out tips on having healthy relationships. And you can also remember that you can connect with me after the show on social media. You can find me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Periscope. My handle on all four platforms is at Weary Consult. To find out all things Sherry Weary, you can go to my website, sherryweary.com. That's SHERRYWHERRY.com. And lastly, my novel, Walking Through the Pain, is available in print and ebook format on my website at sherryweary.com, at amazon.com, and at barnesandnoble.com. Walking Through the Pain is the official book of the 2016 Paradigm Shift Women's Conference, which will take place in Philadelphia, PA, on September 17, 2016. You can go to PatriceMyrickMinistries.com. That's PatriceMyrickMinistries.com for more information. And until we meet again, and as always, I pray that you will be well, you will be whole, and that you will be set free.